as much as possible. To kind of get started, Window Genie at its core, we are a window cleaning company. We started out that way, and then over the years have added additional services. So what we like to call our big three is window cleaning, window tinting, and pressure washing. In the majority of our markets, those three core services make up as much as 85 to 90% of the total revenue from the owners. Window cleaning still is the driving source. It's about 35 to 50% for every owner in every market. And then the balance is filled in with the other two core services. And our kind of our fill-in, gutter cleaning, gutter resecuring, chandelier cleaning, represent that 10 to maybe 15% in any given market. So our foray is to get into the home with one of the core services, and then over 50% of our customers use more than one service. So one of the big three is usually what gets us into the home, and the other services kind of add on to that as the homeowner realizes that we're able to take care of more than one thing for them. We are part of a $40 billion cleaning service industry. Your clients like to know that they're not kind of pushing the rope uphill, that they're getting on board with a market that is maybe mature and there's activity there. So window cleaning and the pressure washing is dumped into the larger cleaning service industry, which is valued right now at about $40 billion. We are primarily a residential service. So each and every day we are focusing in on doing things that the homeowners don't like to do themselves. So cleaning, protecting, and restoring a homeowner's property. And that does make up about 80% of what we do. The remaining 20% is commercial, not high-rise, although we are able to film the buildings on a high-rise because the film is an interior application. But we are doing everything from universities to small banks. We don't do extremely small route work, but the 20% commercial are medium to small businesses that are still looking for a professional, reliable company to maintain their windows. This is just a kind of a snapshot of part of our building here in Cincinnati. The company's been around since 1998, began in 94 actually originally here in Cincinnati and franchising since 98. We have 90 franchise partners today. The majority of those have about own two units, so we operate about 175 units now in 26 states. I think it's important, for Discovery Day, for example, that the location we've established and set up, not over the top, but also letting them know we're not operating from a cardboard box. So we try to have a successful looking and feeling building, and so that when your clients come to Cincinnati for Discovery Day, they get a feeling of hopefully maturity and stability in the business. And the interior is kind of set up like the exterior, where it feels like it's not over the top or underdone at the same time. As I mentioned, I started the company 20 years ago, and I'm kind of a classic example of, I think, who is a typical buyer for the business. I had a marketing and finance degree and woke up at 29 years old and decided that that was no longer in the cards for me. Working for somebody else didn't make sense, and I really didn't care what I went out and did. Just wanted to do something that I thought would have a chance to build and grow and create equity. And window cleaning just happened to be it. As I say today, if it was basket weaving, hopefully we're having a webinar regarding basket weaving. So that was the origin of the business, and you kind of see briefly in that timeline, we added additional services, which are really a demand by our customers who realized if you have great professional ownership and you're in the home with trained professional employees that seem like they care about the property, there was just a natural inclination to say, you guys are fantastic. What else can you do? So we added, window film, and we added pressure washing and gutter clean out and gutter resecuring is really an extension of the core service, but a way to really kind of, grab on to the customer, provide additional value, and, give the customers an opportunity to kind of really stay with one company. So over the years, we've added and grown. G-Mobiles were launched about 7 years ago. Probably one of the best things we did for the business in terms of branding, highly recognizable. Just for example, we were in the elevator in Nashville, and a mom and her four young kids were in the elevator, and her first comment was, after looking at our shirts, she said, "Oh, my gosh, my kids love your vehicles." So here we were from Cincinnati wearing Window Genie shirts, but she happened to live, in the Nashville market, but, knew us in the elevator. It resonates with the moms. It resonates with the kids. So the G-Mobiles do a fantastic job of branding the business for our franchise partners around the country. We have an internal Google, I like to call it Google department, three guys that do nothing all day long but focus on internet strategy and, the use of the internet. So for the majority of our owners, up to 50% of their new business every year comes from the internet. So we put a lot of time and effort and money into our internet strategy. Windows for Wishes, which is one of the last pieces to the right. We started about 4 years ago in a response to kind of formalize a really commitment as a system to give back to the local communities. For a lot of prospective buyers, it really is a compelling part of the business. So it gives them the flexibility and the opportunity to give back to their community. We have a full-time person that is dedicated to working with them on Windows for Wishes and PR. So developing a strategy and a way to kind of go to market with whatever it is they choose to give back to. For example, we have some owners that are very, very committed to the veteran programs that employ veteran technicians. So once a month working with veteran outplacement agencies in their market, they will do a free window cleaning or a free pressure washing, whatever they can do every month. The customers love it. You know, the homeowner who happens to be a veteran of, you know, one of the wars, technicians love it because they're giving back to another veteran. So we have some really creative things around the country that the owners are doing as part of the Windows for Wishes umbrella. So everything that we do is covered under that umbrella. David Flash, who's actually now one of working with us on franchise development, you might have spoken with David. David came to Windogini. He had he's a CPA by trade, had a very successful recruiting company, CPA recruiting business in Atlanta, Georgia. The business didn't make it through the economy in 2009. He found us, came on board, and in 4 years became a top producer doing almost $1 million a year this year, who, as he said, he's got it to the point where he's stable, doesn't have to work very much, and is a fantastic brand promoter, and with a lot of sales experience, he's now working directly with us in franchise development. So hopefully if you get a chance to speak with David, your prospects and clients will have a really solid guy that is really all about, as he tells you, will bleed purple to work with your clients to understand the business model. His sales experience will really help kind of move them along. So we're excited to have David in that capacity. Kind of what defines Windogini as a model, it's a very simple model. It's not complex. It's a truck and some guys and some cleaning solutions. So you can oversimplify anything. But at its core, it's a simple business to know and run and understand. Margins are strong, typically 25 to 30% as you kind of get towards maturity. I also view this as a lifestyle business. That was key to my decision 20 years ago, which is I didn't want to have a business where I had to leave the family at Thanksgiving or run off on a Sunday. So there are no emergency window cleanings, and there's no emergency pressure washing on a Saturday afternoon. So we are in the homes during typical business hours, so no late nights and no evenings. Doesn't mean the owners aren't working on their business doing other various things after hours, but when the actual business functions is Monday through Friday. Weekends by choice, multiple revenue streams, as I mentioned, I think that is one of the key core parts of the business. Prospects understand that. They get their attention. As always, promote, we're not a one-trick pony. If we don't have interest in window cleaning, maybe we will hook the prospect with pressure washing, and if not, maybe it's window film. And once we're in the door, again, over half of those customers will ultimately eventually use more than one service. One of the opportunities with Windogini is we still have lots of great territories. Very few markets are we completely sold out. Some of the markets we might not have the biggest and the best, the filet mignon of that territory available, but we still have territories in probably 95% of the markets and, the residual customer base. Everything that we do other than window film, which is a permanent application, everything that we do gets dirty again, so it just depends on the frequency in which we come back to those customers. Who are our customers? We view it as anybody with a home, a condo, apartment, or a business or something to maintain. Affluent customers are our most obvious because they have the cash and the means to spend and maintain the property, but it is also the two-income homeowners, though the ones that are working all day long and just don't have the time but still want the home to look good. The elderly is becoming an increasing big part of our business because they're not aging without money. They're aging, they're sometimes downsizing, but they still have the money and the means to maintain the property, no longer getting up on their ladder. So they're really every day becoming more and more a part of our business. And then, the affiliates, our referral sources, we work quite well with glass shops, maid services, real estate agents, property managers, those people that are out there conducting business with our typical client who are also looking for the same kind of service. So they become great referral partners for our franchise partners. We are a marketing-driven business. There's plenty of direct selling models out there. For me personally, I'm not a direct seller. If I had to wake up every day and knock on a door, it's probably not the model for me. So that was really important back in the day to find a model that suited my kind of personality. As I say, you've got to be happy and accepting with what it is when you get out of bed and do it every day. So creating a marketing-driven business for me was really critical, and I think for the majority of our owners it is the same thing. Being comfortable on the telephone, comfortable interacting with customers. You still need to be more comfortable being with a customer than behind a desk or in front of a computer. But most of what happens is designed to make the phone ring. So our franchise partners are answering the telephone with an interested party on the other line. Those that are really good at or really comfortable with more of a direct selling component, they can certainly do that, whether they're dropping off flyers for window film or just talking to a general manager at lunch about the need for window cleaning or window film. But in general, our owners are understanding and looking for a model where through the internet, direct mail, et cetera, that we're making the phone ring from customers that are interested in looking. Daryl Darby is one of our owners in Florida. I think he's just hitting his two-year mark. He spent his career in pharmaceutical sales, so he had a nice, big six-figure income. And then one day, like many of our clients did, woke up and the job was gone. But he was extremely comfortable with sales. He lives in a nice beach home where he said, I can't get anybody to clean my windows. No one shows up when I call them. And I'm kind of fastidious. I like my windows clean. And he said to his wife, maybe I should open a window cleaning company. So a typical guy who has a lot of corporate experience, sales experience, a nice strong income, that wasn't concerned that maybe I should get into the window cleaning business. He was a top producer quickly. He's extremely good with customers on the telephone. And, as his quote says, he's getting the phone to ring for a typical $99 base window cleaning. And, the average job for him is coming in at over $450. A fantastic validator for us in the system and a great guy based on his previous experience so that clients can understand, there's guys like that already in the business. These are our core three areas. We call our big three for new customers as well. Internet makes up as much as 50%. Direct mail, we have national programs with Valpak and Money Mailer and some others so that we're dialing into coupons, in the envelope or the coupon magazine into our targeted customer's home. And then guerrilla marketing. So part of the program for the new owners and even, technicians from day one is guerrilla marketing. And that's everything from door hangers after we finish a job, yard signs, strategically placing our Gene Mobiles in the driveway or mall parking lots on the weekends. So constantly, I call it shameless self-promotion, always getting the word out, using the internet technology, using the direct mail programs at discounted rates, and then doing everything possible on the local level to kind of get the word out so that we can be found when customers wake up and they're ready. Where are we now? This is, a few weeks outdated. We have some new owners that have come on since, but just shows you when you kind of put small dots how much open territory there really is. So, again, only a few markets where we are completely sold out, but lots of great markets that have current owners that have, room for at least one or two more that still have great territory. So I think very rarely will you do a territory check and find out that area is sold out. So we probably have a couple hundred more locations as we map out the United States that I think are very, very viable territories. So hopefully one of the appeals to Windigini for you and your inventory will be that we have lots of open territory and won't hear a no too often. What do we look like and how do we compare? Always a question from competitor or customers who think, I could go do that myself. I can, buy a bucket. There's nothing proprietary. So in general, our competition is local mom and pop. In Cincinnati 20 years ago and still today, we have almost 45 companies in the window cleaning business. So there's never been a shortage of people in a particular market, getting up every day and going and cleaning windows. Nationally, I think we all know Fish, and we get along with them quite well in the marketplace, we have forever. They're going after a different customer. They're going after commercial to our residential, and they go after them a little bit differently. Internet is there, but in general, they're kind of knocking on doors. So lots of their markets where their top guys are, we have markets as well, owners, and it works. So we never want to be the only one in a particular market that's out there trying to promote the services. So it's great to have Fish in a particular market. And then a couple others like Menonkilt, Squeegee Squad, Sparkle Wash is more of a restoration pressure washing business that rarely comes into play for us. So a few nationals, mostly local mom and pops. And we've got the demonstration over the years of showing for a brand new franchise partner what they can do when they enter a market first time to be able to go in, be seen and be heard for the local customers. So the marketing does work to attract new business in those markets. we kind of feature and stress our product and equipment. So we're kind of using best in the market for what it is that we do. A customer doesn't really care that we're using the latest technology for water-fed poles and deionized water, but they might, and the technicians do, and it also speeds up the process. So if that impacts our pricing or ability to lower the price for the customer, then everybody wins. So product and equipment is always kind of top of mind for us. We do offer protected territories. So once we award a territory, we can no longer sell another one there, or an adjoining franchise partner can no longer market into that territory. We have a full-time person, as I mentioned, that handles publicity and PR for each owner. We actually have a new room here where we do it's kind of a studio where we do interviews with new owners, and we take that and promote that locally, as well as putting out local press stories. So we work really hard to get national press for our owners, and it's actually worked out extremely well in terms of getting them seen and heard and getting new business for them. Ongoing training and support, everybody, we all have to do that. And then marketing and advertising. I think we have pretty sophisticated programs in terms of showing who the brand is and being able to get that out in front of the customers. We did launch this year, kind of a big deal. Hopefully everybody recognizes the 3M name. We've been in the film business for 15 years. The problem, if I could say that, is that we had to train new owners for various films based on availability for those manufacturers in a particular market. So we had three films in general that we worked with. What we really wanted was one name, one brand, one film that we could be able to work with system-wide. So we spent about 2 years developing that relationship. 3M, as a massive company, heavy in the commercial market, their head of national and international sales pegged the one area or the one niche that they were deficient, that they saw the most opportunity, was the residential film market. So it was a natural partnership for them to look at Winogene and our kind of growing footprint and understood that if they wanted to get into more homes around the country, one, our base of 150,000 customers was a great starting point, but the fact that if we're adding 25 new locations per year with aggressive marketing, that they could kind of hit some of their budget goals with Winogene. So what they did was create a new line of films exclusively for Winogene. So all Winogene owners today will be selling the Envision line of films for 3M. No other dealer locally will have that product. They probably will have a 3M dealer in town, but they're selling the original traditional 3M line. Winogene owners will be selling exclusively the 3M Envision line of film. So it gives us, I think, a nice competitive edge that as a national company doing this, we have an exclusive film, and just makes training and support, et cetera, much easier because now all the owners are working under the 3M umbrella. Kind of who are we looking for? This is one of our owners in Jersey. She came from corporate America. She does this solo. Her husband is a paint contractor, so she doesn't get daily support from a spouse helping her. She is doing this exclusively. So it's an executive model. In general, we are looking for the owner executive be running the business. Probably 10% of our new markets are where we have more owner-operators, and historically in the last 5 years that has been where maybe they're more rural, or three of the people that come to mind, all three were veterans, still in their late 20s, and they wanted to start smaller. They had a little bit less cash, and they actually liked the idea, given their territory, of starting in the business, working on the business. So in general, we are bringing owners on board that do not know how to clean windows, don't want to, know enough to be dangerous, kind of. The executive model most of the time, but for the right candidate that has a smaller territory, a little bit less money, it's still a really great opportunity. And some of those guys have already grown to three or four technicians that started out owner-operator within a year or two ago. Sales background is great, not required. Our model is typically for the achiever and belonger based on how we kind of scored out. So somebody that's looking to build and grow, understanding of sales, rather be with the customer than kind of behind a desk. And I always put the work hard, play hard. It seems kind of an obvious thing, but the ability and desire to get out there and work hard every day, but still know how to kind of break away from that, relax, and then get back at it. And obviously, lastly, clearly following the system. I think we've identified a system that works. That's why we've seen such growth from our top guys in the last 5 years. So using the Winogene system to grow their business. This is another example. We have various forms of vehicles, all that are kind of corporately approved. All new owners start out a Ford Transit Connect, which is our typical service vehicle. We have owners that have everything from like a brand new Ford F-150 to Mini Coopers, Dodge Magnums, Jeep Wranglers. So the more unique the vehicle when it's wrapped up, I think the more it stands out. But outgoing, competitive, aggressive owners that follow the system and the strong moral compass. I'm a big believer in, you know, fish rots from the head down. So starting the business ethically and morally, running it well, taking care of your customers, taking care of your technicians, we're clearly looking for that type of an individual. This is just a quick snapshot of who our owners are previously, you know, what they used to do to make a living before they signed on with Wintergini. And it's extremely diverse. We have a lot of veterans. So if you do have a veteran candidate that has any interest, I think it will validate extremely well with our owners. There's a lot of guys. I think we have maybe six or seven owners already this year. And then all the way up to CPAs, chemical engineers, veterinarians, you know, you name it. So I think the diverse background is unique. We only have one individual as an owner that was previously in the window cleaning business, and that was because he was the lead technician for one of our top guys for 10 years. So in general, we are not looking for guys that are in the business. We're looking to take people that have great life and business experiences prior and then teaching them the Wintergini way. Again, some just quick lines as to why somebody might find Wintergini appealing. You know, there's a lot of opportunities out there, you know, why Wintergini? But it is the national competition and the limited national competition, multiple revenue streams, and we do think we have a great opportunity with 3M to be the leader in window film. You know, day in the life of. What does that look like? You know, I always say day one looks one way, year one looks another, hopefully, and year five looks altogether completely different. So as a mobile business, we are, you know, in general, we're getting work orders printed out. We're getting technicians organized with whatever their equipment or chemicals or cleaning solutions are for the day. Once they're out, most owners start or have guys out by 8, 8:15. So once they're out, now it's up to the owner to decide what the rest of the day looks like. Busy time, we've got guys that are getting 10, 15, 20 calls in a day. So we're doing tech visits to homeowners for quotes. A lot of the homeowners are able to do the quotes by telephone, or if they have a spouse or ops manager in place, they're doing that by phone. And then throughout the day, we're maybe checking in with the technicians, taking calls. If the day is a little bit lighter, we're hopefully setting up appointments with the maid services and the glass shops and the property managers. End of day, it's really closing out work orders. Based on where you're set up, techs can drop the trucks off at the office. If it's home-based, they can either leave them in the driveway. If there's a spouse working with the owner, you know, then we have somebody at home, you know, in the later afternoon when the techs come back. And then end of day is just data entry, scheduling, returning calls for the next day, et cetera. That kind of moves into a different role as the business grows. If you started out as a solo with no office support, putting somebody in the office to do the kind of things that most guys that you know, like being in the field don't like to do, which is back in the office. So moving the business forward so that you're having people in place to answer telephones, do quotes, do paperwork, so that you can have a shorter day, because in the beginning you feel like you're working 24/7. So trying to scale the business back so that you're focusing on, you know, growing the business through talking to the customers and working with the technicians. A couple of things, misconceptions about, you know, what we hear from potential clients about the business. First and foremost, as always, people don't use a window cleaning service. I've never heard of it. Don't do it myself. That was mine originally. We usually kind of dispel that very, very quickly with calls to our owners. Seasonality, we've addressed that. We actually are in our second year of beta testing holiday lights. We had a really successful launch last year. We have almost 20 owners this year rolling out year two. So far, it's an extremely great addition to the business. It fits the model. We already have technicians. We have ladders, guys that are used to being on ladders, and seems to be no shortage of homeowners that are looking for, you know, well-designed, well-thought-out, well-installed LED lighting. So that does address a lot of people's concerns, what happens in the wintertime. Our guys so far that have been in it now for their second year believe by the end of year four, it's at least $150,000 to $180,000 gross business model with 50% margin. So literally the owners can add $50,000 to $75,000 in net profit just in that one additional service in that 2 to 2.5 month period. Issues and ambushes, which is the first one. Do people really pay to have their windows cleaned? And I think, you know, 150,000, you know, system-wide customers, You know, David Flax in Atlanta last year alone added 2,200 new customers. We had a lot of guys that added over 1,000, and probably the majority of our guys are adding over 500. So I think those numbers show and speak to the fact that people are out there looking to get their windows cleaned. No, we don't want you to climb on a ladder. We're looking for you to run the business. You know, best and most efficient use of your time is not being on a ladder. It's letting guys at $12 to $15 an hour do that. You know, it's not the sexy business. I think that's always been key. You know, we are what we are. We don't make any bones about it. If you're worried about, you know, how the business looks, maybe a service business isn't for you. But we've done a lot in terms of the look and feel of the brand, you know, the G-mobiles, what we wear, how we look and act, hopefully. It's still not sexy, but there's still a lot of excitement with our owners, and that's why during validation, I think we come across as really culturally a great team of people because they are really excited about what they're doing every day out there. And then seasonality. Most markets, it's a strong March through December season. Most of the guys around the country will be extremely busy through Christmas. So the only time to really worry about it is January and February. But for our guys in Florida, for example, some of their busiest months are November through January. So the addition of the holiday lighting really, I think, will help, you know, questions and issues in terms of cash flow and also what to do with my technicians during that period. About 70% of our owners do start from home. I like the fact, I love the fact that we can start from home, keep the expenses down while I'm learning the business, kind of start to ramp up. But about 30% do go a small commercial B or C space just to have a place to park some trucks. And, some maybe don't because of homeowner association rules cannot run from home. They cannot have a wrapped vehicle in the driveway. So various things like that can determine or impact whether and where I start. But it's about a 70-30 split. We have had a lot of owners in the last few years get to break even literally in month 1, 2, and 3. But I like to look at it annualized because I can start off and have a great month or two in the springtime and have the fourth month be slow. So I really haven't hit, annualized break even. I just had a month or two where I did. So in general, we're getting there less than 12 months, on average probably 6 to 7. But oftentimes we're seeing monthly break even at month 1 or 2. With our margins at 25 to 30%, for the executive model, the guy that says I used to make 120 grand and I have to make it again or else, certainly the model works. Our model will work for them, and I think they'll have the owners that will be able to validate that quite well for them. The other key is employees. Businesses don't run without employees, so what does that look like? The economy has been a kind of a tough market for everybody out there with employees, probably the number one issue that clients would hear during validation. But we have a lot of time and effort put into that, knowing that that is, the weakness out there in the service business is technicians. So we have a lot of online portals like Hireology. We've got a website developed for recruiting. We have videos. So we put a lot of emphasis on and into how we recruit. But we're looking for guys that came from a background of anything. It could be manufacturing, could be another service business, but guys that like to work with their hands, maybe they work on their car on the weekend. Usually our challenge is, I put out there to all of our owners that we need to be the best boss that they've ever had. So a lot of our employees are coming from places where they didn't have good bosses. They messed with their paychecks and they weren't fair and they didn't have growth opportunity and they didn't feel like their voice was heard. Those are the kind of guys that we like to find because our goal as owners is to kind of present that opportunity. In addition, we start usually $12 to $15 an hour. Technicians go on a commission, so they're ultimately making $15 to $20 per hour. So I think, a day in the life of a technician with what he does and what he makes really, I think, gives a great opportunity for him. And the fact that he's not working at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night with no threat of that. Doesn't have to call in and have an emergency service, nor does he have to work on the weekend. So I think it's a great, great opportunity for technicians. So what is it that, about Windigene that would appeal to a client? I would say first and foremost, it's always been multiple revenue streams. We are not the one-trick pony. So if you run an ad or talk to somebody in line at the grocery store and they don't care about a particular service, we still have others that will appeal to them. So I think the fact that anybody we talk to at any place and any time, something that we offer probably has an opportunity to be of interest to them. That's very, very appealing. I think you'll find ultimately with the customers or clients that get us, is the branding. They get the animated genies. They get some of the things we've created in the last few years in terms of the look and the feel of the brand. they just get it. And it's kind of a love it or hate it. If they don't really jump on it and really feel compelled with the branding and the trucks and everything, usually they don't move with us, too far in the process. The ones that really, really get it, and you'll hear that almost the second you present it, end up having a lot of traction very, very quickly. Lack of or limited local competition for sure with limited national brands. The local competition is more who we worry about because there's so many of them, but in general they kind of have a full book of business, so they're not really aggressively looking for new business, and that's why our owners are marketing aggressively, especially in the early stages so that we can be found. Culture is a big deal. Again, fish rots from the head down, so we're trying to create an environment for both employees here as well as our owners in the system so people are excited to be behind it. Corporately, we have zero turnover. I literally have not had lost a corporate employee in 12 years, 14 years. So we have great stability here, which I think is really important for, especially with the kind of people we're looking for. You know, the ABS, they like stability, and they're going to like to know that the corporate team literally is the same today as it was the year before and the year before. And then lifestyle, a day in the life of an owner is not running out during Thanksgiving dinner or running out on a Saturday afternoon. Average total investment per the FDD is 89 to 139. That's all in inclusive of everything. The 89 is more for the owner that's looking to be a little bit smaller, a little bit more hands-on owner-operator. The 139, maybe even up to 150, is the executive model, 100,000 households. More room for advertising, a little bit more room to push the business quicker. Again, at the Meet the Team Bear Discovery Day, it's a full day here. Usually we start at 9 o'clock and goes to about 4 or 5, depending on how many we have. We do a tour of our office facility so they understand how we're structured and how we're set up. I think it's important for them to know once they're at home what the team looks like and how we're set up and organized to kind of support them. And then we'll do a warehouse tour where we have G-mobiles that are wrapped up and equipment laid out so they see exactly what the model looks like from the op side. So they're seeing and touching G-mobiles. They're seeing the wrap. They're sitting in the truck. They're touching a pressure washer. They're understanding what a roll of film looks like. So it's a really effective day at helping them understand. We have a large kitchen where we eat every day, so it's always really impressive to watch clients come into town that realize that we eat lunch as a team every day. Not required, but 99% of the time everybody's on board for lunch because they're coming kind of from the same environment I did, which is where you don't eat with your coworkers and the boss isn't organizing anything. So I think they very quickly understand kind of as a team culturally what we do and how important that is in terms of being able to help them. Our sales process is 9 steps. We do use FranConnect. We have a kind of a moving talking PowerPoint presentation loaded in there, so it's a great way to track initially when your clients hit the system and how quickly they respond. So it's structured and organized, but also highly, highly effective. It can be kind of massaged where need be, but we kind of orchestrate the process through the introductory call all the way through step 9, which is signing the agreement. We've done this particular model for 5 or 6 years now. It's, I think, extremely effective. That way they know what's coming up. We use the FranConnect module to kind of open up new specific documents per that call. And if you happen to have a fast tracker that needs to go quicker, they're trying to be in business in the next 60 days, we don't skip the steps. We just combine the steps. Or maybe it's 2 calls in a particular week. So we'll always still cover the same things. Maybe we just cover them quicker or more than one step in one particular call. And then, obviously, each step of the way, we're communicating with you via phone or email as to what we just did, what our thoughts at that step were, and then what our next steps are in terms of the next call. Open visibility. It's trying to keep everything, out there and sharing what's going on, helping you understand where we are with your clients, reviewing the FDD. We use FranConnect for electronic FDD. I think you'll find with validation, we do it as good as anybody out there. We all know we can't sell deals without positive validation. And, we have really high award-winning scores with Franchise Business Review. Even our underperformers will tell a good story to your clients. And they're usually saying, I'm not making any money, but it's because I chose not to follow the system. All the way up to, got 15 full-time guys and, couldn't be happy with my decision. So I think one of the most important steps out there, which is validation, I think we do a really, really good job of it. Our guys will spend probably more time than they should. We have somebody already with FranNet that is halfway through the process and probably looks like a buyer already. Spent some time face-to-face with one of our owners this past weekend, and I think he's looking at the process and realizing, you know, it's time to go. Our owner spent 2.5 hours on a call, drove down to Fort Lauderdale to meet with them for another 2 hours, and I think that kind of mentality from our owners is evident with prospects. So I think you'll see a validation, you know, good stuff happen. Currently today, our commission is $20,000 per deal, regardless of the size of the deal. And that's kind of our set in stone. I think you will find going forward into start of next year, some hopefully additional incentives that will make Window Genie hopefully a little bit more viable at certain times throughout the year. I'm a big believer in putting, you know, more exciting stuff out there as we go. So our base day is $20,000. And that, by the way, is our exact new Frank Transit Connect. So that is the specific vehicle that our new owners start with in the field. Some quick numbers for you. Minimum liquid is 50, net worth of 150. So fairly low numbers. You know, we don't want somebody to be in over their head, but also they don't need to be, you know, loaded with cash. But they need to be able to, if they get in the hole, have some reserves to kind of dig into. Investment range of 89 to 139. We are on the SBA registry. So we've had great success with the SBA. And I think validation calls will flush out kind of those three lines below. Monthly break-even quickly. Our sophomore owners are seeing about a 15% margin in sales of 2 to 300. We're actually having several people this year get between 2 to 400 in year one. And then we are for sure seeing a margin of 20 to 30% once you hit the 500,000-plus mark. And last slide just has my name again, Rick Nonell, Window Genie, Cincinnati. Brooke is with me full-time here in terms of helping with territory checks. So we get on very, very quickly because we understand that you can't continue with a client until you know if a territory is available. So I think we're pretty responsive in terms of territory checks. And that, whether David Flax or whoever is working your particular client, you'll send it to me and we'll get it checked out and approved immediately for you. So that is the last slide. So I really appreciate, you know, bending your ear here. And if there's any questions, I'm more than happy to help.
Okay. Rick, let me unmute the lines. Just one moment.
The conference has been unmuted.
Okay, do we have any questions for Rick?
Rick, this is Harriet in Phoenix.
Hi, Harriet.
Hi. Am I getting this that your guy, your ideal person, really has strong business development and sales background?
Well, I mean, our top guys certainly have that, but plenty of our guys that are kind of right there neck and neck don't necessarily come from a sales background, but they are for sure more comfortable in front of and talking to people than they are sitting at a computer. You know, so as long as they are, you know, if you have a type A or outgoing personality, I mean, we're not selling, you know, this isn't a pressure sale, and nor are we selling on price. It's more about a relationship. I mean, our customers are typically buying on the relationship. So as long as you're a good communicator and you know your product, it doesn't matter that you've never sold anything. Doesn't hurt that when you give a $5,000 quote for window film and they say, gosh, that's too expensive, you know, that you don't want to pack up your bag and go home. But being comfortable with the customer, talking to them, looking to be always in front of customer, growing your business versus I prefer to be at my desk, you know, doing a spreadsheet. I mean, that's who we're looking for. The sales experience just helps, Harriet.
Okay. And there needs to be a part-time admin person from day one to answer phones, or is there an 800 number that you see that's a corporate?
Yeah, not necessary. You know, we don't do a call center. We have a toll-free number, but it rings back to the appropriate owner. If you called our toll-free number today, you'll type in your 5-digit zip code, and it'll ring right to our particular owner. So for the owners that are looking to grow quicker, you know, the fastest, if you don't have a spouse, you know, we have a gentleman in Louisville who just in his 12-month mark, I think this year is going to be at the $400,000 level. He has his mother who, you know, is 65 years old and semi-retired, and, you know, she's on the phones part-time. It really a big help for Charlie down there. So it's helpful, not required. So we're coaching the owner, if you don't start that way, to, you know, pay very close attention to when a call volume is exceeding your capability, to kind of get it answered quickly and get out in the field for the estimate. Then it's a some, you know, maybe part-time at least to start, moving more to full-time, because as the business grows, you go from part-time phone answering to full-time, you know, back-end admin, which is kind of how I started that way with Debbie 18 years ago, where I realized answering the phones and doing administrative is slowing my business down. You know, 18 years later, she's still with me, but it's that key to helping the owner get out and grow the business rather than kind of slowing the process down and kind of getting bogged down in back-end office.
Okay, and it says that in your earnings claims, you do have a percent of closing for estimates?
We do.
What is that closing percentage?
Yeah, on average, you know, in stated near people over 12 months, we close 71.5%. So we have a really high closing percentage. We have some guys 75 and 80. If you get over that, you know, that means we're just, you know, we're too cheap. But on average, we're closing about 70%, which I think is a fantastic number. So that is one of the metrics that we train to make sure that the owners are, you know, saying and doing things correctly.
Okay, what percentage? Last question. What percentage
sure.
of your owners are going to validate that they are, in fact, netting over $100,000. This is not for public consumption, just for ourselves.
Well, you know, some of the newest guys that are getting there will validate it. You know, the guys that are doing, you know, obviously David Flax, we have Jersey guys and others. So I don't know the percentage off the top of my head, but it's probably, you know, a lot, our older guys for sure. And now some of the new guys from a few years ago, and I think kind of a round of the newest guys from this year, we'll be seeing that soon. And I think you'll get a lot of guys that, you know, came from six-figure backgrounds that are maybe a year or two in, or saying, I'm not there yet, but I'm there quickly or closely. So they'll still have very enthusiastic responses, even from the owners that are newer or knocking on the door of, you know, kind of turning that corner. So they'll still hear from a lot of guys that even aren't there that say they'll be there very, very soon. And then the guys like, you know, Jersey and Atlanta and Des Moines and others that are clearly saying that they're already there.
Okay, is of your 175 locations open, is the over $100,000 netters going to be only, let's say, 10%, or is it going to be more significant than that?
Well, we have about 90 owners in the 175 territories, so about two units or two territories per owner. So it's going to be 20-25% are going to say that for sure today, maybe more than that. And then I think we'll see with the group we have the last 2 years, that jumping to probably 40%. You know, David, just to use David Flax in Atlanta as an example, at almost $1 million in sales this year, after in his fifth year, he'll be at about a 26% margin. So a lot of prospects are learning very quickly from a guy that has no experience coming in. If I'm aggressive and I'm the right personality type, and he's got, you know, hyper competition in Atlanta, that you can still take a service model that has lots of competitors out there and grow it quickly.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Rick, this is Stacy in Denver.
Hi, Stacy.
To kind of piggyback on Harriet's question, where are the majority of the leads coming from? I mean, it doesn't sound like it's all that salesy, like they're not out doing outside business development, particularly if it's a consumer. Are they doing the Valpak and the marketing, the advertising type of things to make their phone ring, or are they getting out in the community? Kind of where are most customers coming from?
Yeah, I think, Stacey, you'd find that about 30, certainly new owners for sure, 30 to 50% of new business is coming from some form of our internet strategy. And internet strategy is everything from SEO to a pay-per-click campaign to Home Advisor, Porch, Groupon. We have some guys that are really uber-aggressive with Groupon. So that can make up to easily 50%. Another probably 25-ish percent is direct mail. So it is the Valpaks, the money mailers. So, you know, 75%, I'd say, of what we do is passive. It's putting the word out there, you know, kind of waiting, for lack of a better term, for the phone to ring and then responding to the customer. The other side, which kind of becomes a little bit more business development, and that's why those that are more of that side of the equation, I think, you know, start growing a little bit quicker, which is getting out and not being afraid to talk to the maid services, the property managers, the real estate agents. You know, I've got a guy in Des Moines, you know, that because he's more of that kind of guy, you know, pushing property management companies, and, you know, sold a window film job that was $25,000 a month for 14 straight months. That only came from him being willing and able to kind of get out there, kind of get outside maybe the comfort zone a little bit and talk to the property managers and the glass shops, and that's where those kind of jobs ultimately come from. So the majority of what our owners are doing is, you know, waiting for the phone to ring. It's not a business development model where you have to knock on doors. And then, you know, using the, you know, the guerrilla marketing for the technicians, we do pretty well with, you know, the strategic yard signs, vehicle placement, door hangers, et cetera. It's a small piece, but it's great for branding and does bring the business in. So 75, it comes to you. The other 25, you want to be a little bit more aggressive in going after it.
Okay, terrific. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hey, Rick. This is Boynton Weeks in New Jersey. How you doing?
Hey, fine. How are you?
Good. That was great information, by the way.
Thank you.
Just wondering, I'm in New Jersey, so I guess this question would apply really, you know, regarding the Northeast, but do we sell this as kind of a seasonal business in the Northeast where it seems like weather would be an issue sort of, you know, December through February? Well, what's the impact on the revenue in this area?
Yeah, I mean, for many years, my number one guy was based in Sparta, so he's the northern tip of Jersey. He runs still to this day about 15 full-time guys, has about a 75-ish% repeat. You know, so I think last year he had $600,000 or $700,000 in repeat business without having to do anything other than, you know, be there to service them. And obviously Jersey, you know, Januarys and Februarys are cold. So that's where, you know, we've never promoted it as seasonal. It might come up with the prospects. We just want to make sure they understand, you know, early March through end of December is our primary time. You know, there's a couple little dips with, you know, kids going back to school in August. But, you know, they get that. So really what we have to address or ever worry about is what happens, you know, early January and then into February. I think that is going to be addressed quickly with the 18 owners we have this year with Holiday Lights. But I think because we are an outside service, we're putting wet water on a cold window in the middle of the wintertime, I think that kind of it jumps out at them. But it's no different oftentimes than a carpet cleaning business where, you know, in the Northeast, carpet cleaners are slow other than commercial on the residential side because no one's wanting to get their carpet clean when there's, you know, salt and slush outside. So it's kind of the same thing. So we're using the window film as an interior application. Our quarterly customers, which we will do, you know, we don't sit on our thumbs in January and February. We're still doing work. It's just less. As I always said, we do less work in January than we do in June, but we are still working. By the time you add in the holiday lights, I think it'll really round out the model for those people.
Okay. I got it.
Thank you.
Rick, this is Phil. Thank you for everything. What can you tell me what constitutes commissions for the technicians?
Yes, so I think one of the appeals for the owner, I think if an owner doesn't understand how technicians or employees get paid or feel comfortable, you know, they don't move forward in the model. So I think, you know, unless you're going to be the standalone business and you're it, who the techs are and how they get paid is a big, big deal. So in most markets right now, $12 an hour gets really good guys on board. What we're looking for is guys that will advance through that process and realize, you know, I'd rather try to make more money than, you know, working, you know, the clock and hitting 5 o'clock and going home. So usually within the first 90 days, and we talk about this during hiring with the technicians, so there's no surprises, and they know the goal, and, you know, there's a kind of a carrot to reach for, which is we want to move you from a hourly structure into a commission structure, which is nothing more than, well, you know, piecemeal work would be a term that kind of fits it. So just for easy math, maybe a window cleaning technician is on a 30% commission. Base hourly rate for a tech is about, in terms of services, about $50 an hour in terms of revenue generation. So if we have a guy that's always doing $50 an hour and we put him at $30 or 30% commission, he's now at $15 per hour. And window cleaning is the lowest hourly rate that we have. Window film is $100 to $120 per hour in terms of labor rate installed. So, you know, you combine that with the pressure washing, window film, and window cleaning, it's very easy to get, you know, the right technicians into at least a $15 to $20 per hour income mode. So the nice thing about that is rather than working the clock and doing whatever they have to do to get throughout the day and feeling like, great, it's finally time to get home, and the owner's having no idea how many hours it was going to take as it relates to an expense against that particular job. Now everybody knows. When the owner quotes a $200 window cleaning, if he's at 30%, he knows his labor rate is $60. It's almost a fixed cost at that point, and he knows what the other, you know, 70% looks like. The technician now knows when he leaves the office that morning and starts driving the Genie-mobile, he knows how much revenue is on his book that day, and he can take his commission, and he can realize, I'm going to make $200 today. Am I going to do it by 3 o'clock, or is it going to take me till 6 o'clock? And that's why it incentivizes them to learn the business better, be faster. It kind of has built-in customer service tied to it because they're responsible for going back on customer service issues at no additional pay. It's because it's built into their commission. So the technicians can look at the what they're going to make per day. So a lot of the guys, we have tech here in Cincinnati that's been with the company 14 years cleaning windows, a fantastic individual. Everybody on this call would love to have Chase come into their home because he looks professional, he acts professional. He averages about $80 an hour for window cleaning, which means he's making $20, $25 per hour. When he's done, he's done. He's got a young son, so if he's finished with his work at 2 or 3 or 4 in the afternoon, you know, there's no longer any clock watching. Everybody gets to go home when those jobs have been done for the day. So it really, I think, provides some unique opportunity for the business to make more money for the technicians without having to kind of wait till 5 o'clock to punch out.
Interesting. Thanks.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
Yes, this is Ron Lavecchi up in Western New York.
Hi, Ron.
Hi. How many technicians per truck? It sounds like it's one, typically.
Well, yeah, when we do a grand opening, we'll have an owner and a lead technician, or sometimes two techs have been hired. As you kind of build out the business, if you started with one, we actually had a grand opening in Jacksonville, Florida 3 weeks ago. Not only did he start with two techs, he's already adding a second truck. So in his third week, he'll have a second truck. He will put one technician in that truck. So if you only have one tech, you're running one truck. If you need a second tech, you will ideally run two techs per truck. So we're going to maximize. Even though they look great, we don't want to buy trucks for the sake of buying trucks. So two techs per truck. When you need a third tech, now you'll have a second truck, and you'll have one truck at some point that's one tech and another truck that's two. You might also have a job that's, you know, quite large, and all three techs in one truck are going out. So that's why I think somebody that's a little bit of a project manager that understands, you know, what's good today might be a little bit different tomorrow. It's not just mathematical. One and one is two. You know, the jobs today might be different than the ones tomorrow. So it's two per truck.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we have any other questions for Rick?
Few years to get up to that. Looks like South Korea is only making 30,000 to 40,000. Is that hearing me right now?
Okay. If there are no more questions, then I'd like to thank you all for joining in on this call, and I'll send out the recording momentarily. So thank you all, and you all have a good day. Rick,
yeah, thanks, Kim. Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate the opportunity. We're excited. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Everyone have a good day.